Amen. Glory to God. So how many came ready to be fed the word of God? Glory to God. You just said, all right, I'm going to scoot up to the table and I'm going to just start digging in. Amen. Glory to God. God is good. He's faithful. Well, I have a good word. Of course, we always have good words, but I want to get you excited, you know. I have a good word. They're like, oh, it's a good one today. See how I play this? Anyways. But the Lord has really been, let's see, when was it? He gave this message to me. It was like at the end of November, beginning of December, he gave me this message for this month. I already had a different one for December, and then he gave me a message for January. And so, anyways, I've been waiting patiently because I only get one Sunday, you know, a month. So, Pastor Ken, oh, he would give me more if I needed it because he's such a sweetheart. But the thing is that I'm like, okay, I really want to share this. And then I realized why he gave it to me way in advance, because I didn't realize I was going to be going through some of it. So when that happens, then you're like, oh, it's becoming clear. Because I needed to learn a little bit more before I even shared some of the things. So I know that we've all experienced and seen maybe houses being built, structures being built. I know Brent Amy, they just built a house. And I know that it was not easy. I mean, the Lord definitely blessed them. And it's a lot of looking to the right builder, right, Amy? You have to find the right builder. You have to find the person, the right people to lay the foundation, all these different things, because you want to be structurally sound. Amen. They want their house to be unmoved and unshaken when storms come. And the Lord just spoke to me like the beginning of December, end of November, and he says, are you allowing God to build your life, or are you building it? And I went, oh, that's good, Lord. That's really good. In fact, let me ponder that for a moment. And as I began looking and just kind of pondering and meditating on that and looking up scripture in the process of knowing that he told me this was for January, because he gave it to me before I was going to speak December's message. I just thank God that he was preparing me for different things, because I was just sharing with people, you know, Pastor Ken and I, we go through what you go through. Do you understand that? We go through it. Maybe in a different way or different degree, but we go through stuff. And the holidays were so different for us this year. It didn't feel like a holiday at all. It felt like warfare on a continual basis. And it still is to a certain degree. But I am a fighter, I'm a warrior, and I will not quit. I will not back down. I will not give up. He's made us to be different. Amen? And the difference makers go through things, but they come out stronger. Amen? We come out wielding the sword. We come out saying, I will live. It always makes me think of these different, you know, warriors, old-time battles, and they charge to the enemy. They charge. They don't go, oh, no. Oh, you know, they don't do that. They run. They're like, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die with running towards the enemy, saying, no, you're not going to take me down. No, you're not going to stop me. No, you're not going to discourage me. You run toward the enemy, right? You don't run away from. And so that's how I am anyway. Maybe not all of you are like that, but, you know, we want to pour some of that into you. Because those who look to him, now, it's not on our own. It's not by my own might nor by my own strength, but it's by the Spirit of God. Amen? I can't do this on my own. I can't walk this walk with God on my own. I depend on him. I have to depend on him in this journey. He walks with me. He talks with me. You know that song? Hallelujah. And he gives me what I need. He calls me his own. Hallelujah. So are you allowing God to build your life, or are you building it? Are you building your life? Stop. You know, this is 2018. We need to look and see, are we building our own life? Are we allowing God to build it? Are we in our own strength, in our own reasoning, in our own mind, in our own will? Are we building our own life? Look back and see how your life has been in 2017, 2016. And are you allowing God to build it, or are you building it? We've got to know. Because those who know who's building their life will depend on their builder. Amen? Who's the builder for your life? That's the title. Who's the builder for your life? In Psalms 127:1, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. And that's the New Living Translation. We speak a lot of, or we a lot of times are doing New Living Translation or Amplified or New King James or King James Version. So, but I'll let you know what translation is just so you know. I want you to look with me at, go with me to Luke, because there's a parable that Jesus taught and it's so powerful. You know, to build means to form, to construct, to develop, to assemble, and to shape and mold. So who's forming your life? Who's shaping your life? Who's constructing your life and developing your life? Is it your neighbor? Is it politics? Is it media? Is it entertainment? Is it the world's thinking? Come on. Who's building your life? Is it your spouse? Is it your kids? Because you're running after them because you want them in your life and so you do whatever they want? Think however they think so that you can feel like you're getting that connection with them? No, when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all those other things that we have need of and desire will be added unto us, right? The goal is to seek him first. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Nothing else in this world is the truth and the life. He said, I came to give you life, and I came to give it to you more abundantly. He came to give us a rich and satisfying life. But we've got to look to him. He's got to be our source. He's got to be the one that is building and forming us. So, you guys are probably already at Luke. All right, so let's look at Luke 6:47, the New Living. It says, I will show you what it looks like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. This is Jesus speaking, okay? So he's speaking to his disciples, and he's saying, I'm going to show you what it's like when someone comes to me and listens to my teaching and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and then lays a foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, in the Matthew, in Matthew, it has the same parable, and it says when the floodwaters rise and the winds blow, and makes it more, you know, dramatic, when everything seems to hit on all sides, basically, it says that it stands firm because it is well built. It is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey or doesn't follow my teaching is like a person who builds a house without a foundation. And in Matthew, it says builds a house on sand. Well, that ain't any better. Either no foundation or built on sand. It's not going to withstand. It's not going to withstand storms. It's not going to withstand the winds, the pressures, all these different things. It says that when the floods sweep down and the storms come against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. It's going to collapse. So you see how important it is that we build, that we allow God to build our house, to build our foundation, to build our structure, to shape us, to mold us, to be who he's called us to be. Amen? With a good foundation. It's so important. In Colossians, let's look at Colossians 2:7. Thank you, Father. It says, let your roots grow down into him. Who? Christ. Let your roots grow down into Christ and let your lives be built on Christ. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you are taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Let your roots grow down into Christ and let your lives be built on Christ. We are to be built on Christ Jesus, our solid rock, our firm foundation. Amen. Jesus represents love, because he represents the Father, right? The Father God is love. It says in 1 John that God is love. And God never fails. So Jesus never fails. He is love. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 8:1, in the Contemporary English Bible, it says, We know that we all have knowledge. We know that. We all have knowledge. But knowledge makes people arrogant. But love builds up people. Love builds people up. So we need to know that God is love, that He is our, that love is our foundation. Love, Jesus is our foundation. Amen? And out of that love, we see God in different areas that should be a knowing of who He is. If we can get these components, their foundational components in our life, if we can understand and know them, have a revelation, pursue them on a daily basis and understand them, we will not be moved and we will not be shaken. Amen? So these there's three components, and they're not in a certain order or anything. I'm just sharing these three areas that we're going to look at today that help our foundation be firm and strong. So when trials and warfare and temptations and struggles and storms come, we are not shaken. We are not moved. Amen? Thank you, Father. These components will help us to remember to always stay on God's side. Did you know the enemy's always trying to get us off of God's side? Do you know he's always trying to get us to doubt God instead of staying on his side? You know, I love my husband, and if there is anything I'm so grateful for is that he's always on my side. Even when I make mistakes, he'll come and lovingly correct me, but he always lets me know he's for me. That's the people we want surrounding us, right? That's who we want surrounding us. And who's better than any of us like that? Jesus, the Lord. He's there rooting us on. No matter what we've done, no matter what mistakes, we're there going, hey, it's okay. Yeah, this and this, but you can do it. I'm for you. I will be there. What do you need? That's who God is. Amen? And I'm so grateful that he's there for us. You know, we had an instructor in Bible college that would wisely instruct us students at times. He would say, you know, at times there's going to be, when you're out there in ministry, oh, he's so right, or in just walking your life and going through things, there's going to be times that you begin to question certain scripture. There's going to be times you're going to question your faith. It's even possible occasionally that you might even have more questions than you have answers. He said, but remember this. Always remember to stay on the side of God. Always stay on the side of God. You can't go wrong if you always stay on the side of God, on God's side, knowing that the Lord is good all the time. He is good all the time. I don't care what you go through. I don't care what you've experienced. My God and my Jesus is good all the time. Amen? And if we stay on his side, if we stay on God's side, no matter what the enemy throws or this world or the lies are thrown at us, we will always know, wait a minute, all the stuff that's bombarded me, that's not God's side, because God is always good. No, I'm staying on God's side. I'm not going over there. He may try and woo us over here to this side, but we're like, and we get a little closer. Well, yeah, what about that? I don't understand that. This feels terrible. But then it's like the Holy Spirit's like, well, stay on God's side. Remember who he is. Wait, yeah, God is good. Yeah, that's right. He works all things for my good. That's right. He is for me. And then we start staying on God's side. Amen? We want to stay on God's side. You know, in Psalm 100 and verse 5 in the Amplified, it talks about who the Lord is. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. For the Lord is good. His mercy and loving kindness are everlasting. And his faithfulness endures to all generations. So that's the three areas we're going to look at today. Because if we remember that, if we know these truths, that will keep our foundation unmoved and unshaken. Amen? So number one, understand that the Lord is good. Always. God is good. And he is good all the time. We had this, when I was growing up, at our church, we had this businessman, and God was always blessing him, and he was just, he was a witness wherever he went. You know, he traveled a lot, and because he owned a trucking company, but he was always sharing Jesus wherever he went. He had a big sign that said, you know, Jesus is Lord, and just things like that. And so everywhere he went, he would share Jesus. And whenever he was coming into church, you know, because when I was growing up, our church was his base, and he would come, and you know, when we'd see him, he'd have this phrase. He'd go, God is good, and we'd say, all the time. And we'd say, all the time, and he goes, God is good. And we'd go back and forth like that, right? And he would just smile. Anyway, it's, you know, it's one of those things we hear that, and I know that's something we hear a lot today. You know, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. But it's not just a fun saying, church. It's a reality that we can build our lives on, that God is good all the time. And all the time, my God is good. Now, if you have a different God, that's not my God, because I know my God is always good. Acts 10:38 says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Notice that the power of God caused Jesus to do. Caused him to do something. It caused him to do good and to do good all the time. Amen. I don't know. Can you think of any times where Jesus did bad? No. He only did good. He only brought good. Wherever he went, even when he was correcting, he always brought good. He lovingly corrected his disciples. Even when he was doing it was either good for the people or it was good because the Father told him to do it, to set things right in an order. So he always did good. Hallelujah. Psalm 119:68. See what that has to say. God's word. Come on, just eat this word this morning. Psalm 119:68 says this. You are good and do only good. Teach me your decrees. You are good, God, and do only good. Teach me your decrees. Hallelujah. James 1:17 in the easy to read version says, everything good comes from God. Every perfect gift is from him. These good gifts come down from the Father who made all the lights in the sky. But God never changes like the shadows from those lights. He is always the same. That means he's always good. He's always good. Even if our reasoning doesn't understand, church, God is always good. Never, ever do I ever want to be without my Lord, ever, because he's always good. So whatever you're facing today, whatever challenges, whatever circumstances, whatever trials or things that you're going through, uncertainties, you need to know this, that God is working behind the scenes for you, and his work is good. So stay on God's side. Stay on the side of God. When you're feeling like you're being drawn into confusion or disarray or you know, feeling like, oh, yeah, I think this is right. And it's nothing good, but it's all everything that's wrong. It's not with what the word is saying. Stay on God's side. He's going to see you through. He's going to see you through. Second component of understanding who Jesus is, and if you understand who he is in this area, it's going to help keep your foundation, your house and your life will be built strong, is know the Lord is merciful. Know the Lord is merciful. Merciful is shows mercy. He shows mercy. He shows loving kindness. Amen? And it's everlasting. In other words, that means it never stops. That is so good. Come on, his mercies are new every morning. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Mercy, the definition for mercy. Mercy shows compassion or kindness to forgive and exempt you of punishment, even when a person has the power and authority to give that judgment or that punishment. Mercy says, you do deserve this, but no, I'm not going to give it because I have compassion and kindness on you. That's mercy. And our God is merciful. Merciful all the time. He is merciful. Right there, we should be like rejoicing. How many times do we miss it, church? How many times do we blow it? How many times do we do things wrong? And all we have to say is, oh, God, I'm sorry. I blew it. He's like, yep. Sometimes we think, well, see, and this is the religious mindset we have sometimes. We're like, yeah, I did something wrong, so, you know, I'm going to reap it because I did something wrong. No, not if you look to God for your mercy. He says, mercy is what you do deserve. I'm not going to give it to you. And I'm going to exempt you from it if you call on mercy. If you call on my mercy, come on. How good is that? That is so good. Anybody ever kind of messed up ever? Okay, mate, well, you know, I'm still working on a church, but yeah. And his mercy is so good. I know, honey. That's okay. I'm just kidding. So I want you to understand, and I don't know if we share this a lot. Mercy and grace, they interact. They go together. Mercy and grace go together. And that's who Jesus represents. The blood that was shed for us represents mercy and grace. Amen? Because mercy is not giving you what you do deserve, but grace is giving you what you didn't deserve. We didn't deserve, we deserved hell and damnation, right? But then after that, then grace comes through Jesus Christ and the shed blood. And God and Jesus says, you know what? I'm not only going to give you mercy, but I'm going to give you grace that says, I'm going to give you health and wholeness, a rich and satisfying life, peace, joy, all these different things that he went ahead and gave us through the blood, through the cross, through the death and resurrection. Amen. He says, it's all supplied in me if you look to me. That's what's so awesome. Hallelujah. So mercy is not giving you what you do deserve, and grace is giving you what you don't deserve. He gives it anyway. He's like, you know, not only that, that'd be like somebody committing a crime and they're like, okay, I'm sorry. I don't want to do that. I'll never do that again. I'm going to really try not to do it again. And they could have had some kind of punishment. And they're like saying, you know what? I'm going to let you go. I'm not going to give you that punishment, and you're forgiven. And on top of that, I just want to bless you and give you this and give them $100 or something and say, go have a good day. Who does that? God. Jesus does. And we do. Exactly. That's what I was getting to. Because we are to be like him, right? Amen. Hallelujah. You guys with me? You doing all right? Good. You're doing all right? Good, honey. Thank you. It's good to know. Praise the Lord. Bless her. Amen. Matthew, let's look at Matthew 18. This is a parable about a king who forgave a debtor millions of dollars. But we're going to see how that debtor handled it. So the king, and it's going to look at verse 32 in a second. But the king, there was a debtor that owed the king millions of dollars, but he cried out and he pleaded, have mercy on me, have mercy. So the king says, you know what? I'm going to forgive all your debt. You're forgiven and you don't have to pay. You don't have to pay the punishment. You don't have to, you know, because back then even they would, if you didn't pay up, you had to be in jail until you paid it. And so he says, I'm forgiving and I'm exempting you from the debt. Then the debtor is let out. And then he remembers somebody owes him a few thousand dollars, finds him and begins to make him give it and pay it, or else he's going to throw him in jail. Well, people that served the king heard about this. They were a little disgusted with that idea. Went to the king and said, this guy you forgave, all that debt is now holding somebody to a few thousand dollars. Then in verse 32 it says, then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. And that's what my Heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. But see, our God is merciful. If we show mercy, we receive mercy. We are to be like our Father, amen? We're to be like our Lord Jesus, who displayed mercy on the cross to us. But if we know his mercy, when trials come, when winds start shaking our structure, we're like, no, God's for me. No, his mercy endures forever. No, he will forgive me and he will erase this. Oh, isn't that good? Because if not, we're going to always feel like we're catching up. We're always going to feel like we're trying to make it. Are you happy now, Lord? Are you happy? I blew it, but I'm sorry. Are you going to make, am I okay? No, his mercy is there all the time. Okay, now that's for those who are walking in Christ Jesus. Now we're walking after him, not the ones that are out in the world doing their own thing. And, I love God. Hey, light me up. I love God. Hey, did you hear the good news, gossip? not those, but those who are actually walking with the Lord, pursuing him. Now even God is merciful to those who will cry out to him. And any time, his ear is open to their cry. Amen. That are coming with a heart that wants him. Hallelujah. Okay, where am I? So 69:16. Look at Psalm 69:16. Says this: answer my prayers, O Lord, for your unfailing love is wonderful. Take care of me, for your mercy is so plentiful. Oh, that scripture was so good. I just had to read it over and over again when I was studying. I'm like, oh, your mercy is so plentiful. I like that, God. So plentiful. Not just a little mercy, but so plentiful is his mercy. Come on, if we get this. You understand if you get this, how the enemy can't shake you from staying on God's side? Staying on the word side? Staying on what he has for you? So good. Ephesians 2:4 says, God is so rich in mercy, and he loves us so much. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Lamentations 3:23 says, great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. So God's mercy outlasts anything you could ever do. It outlasts anything you could ever do. When you and I deserve judgment for our sin, God sent mercy in the form of Jesus, in the shed blood on the cross. Amen. There's a great example in the Bible, the woman who was caught in adultery, of God showing his mercy. The woman caught in adultery was taken before Jesus by the religious people. We caught her in the act of adultery, Jesus. And you know what? Jesus knew that according to his law, what they were saying was just. And it was right. It was deserving of death. But Jesus said, I came to show mercy. He came to show mercy before he even did it on the cross, to give them an understanding of what he was going to accomplish for his church. Because remember, he said, the kingdom of God is here. It was him represented. And if we acknowledge Jesus in our life, then the kingdom lives in us. Everything that kingdom represents. Amen. So when they said that to Jesus, he said, ye without sin cast the first stone. God gave him wisdom. And he said, ye without sin cast the first stone. Of course, they all dropped because they all knew they had issues. Right? And then, as they all left, he said, woman, where's your accusers? And she said, there is none, Lord. And he goes, neither do I condemn you. I forgive you of this penalty, because they were going to stone her to death. He didn't just say, I forgive you, but you're going to be stoned to death. He didn't say that. He said, I forgive you. Go your way and sin no more. Keep looking to something, go sin no more. There's a better way. Look to me. He wanted her to remember him and his mercy. So when the gospel is preached, she's going to be like, oh, I knew that Jesus. He preached mercy. He preached forgiveness. He preached restoration. Another chance. Amen? So what are you going through in this thing, these trials, these circumstances, the storms that you feel like, or maybe even you caused it, and you're like, God, help me. I'm sorry. But I did this, so I probably have to just deal with this. Call on his mercy. Call on his mercy, and he will give it. Amen. God's power to overcome our failures is without end. Today is a new day, church. So if you've blown it, you just simply ask for his mercy. God's mercy is available to us today and every day. We just have to receive it. We just have to believe it's for us. We just have to receive it and stay on God's side. Stay on his side. The third area that we need to know to have a sound structure built by him is know the Lord is faithful. Know the Lord is faithful. And if look at Psalms 86. The Lord is faithful. 15. But you, O Lord, are a God of compassion and mercy, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. He's filled with unfailing love and he's filled with faithfulness. He's filled with it. He cannot be anything but faithful because that's who he is. Amen. He's faithful. Hallelujah. So he's going to see you through. He's going to show his faithfulness. The only thing that we can ever really put our trust in is the word of God. People change. People change. Fads come and go. Opinions differ. Facts change. But God's always stays the same. God's word always stays the same. And we can build our lives upon his word and his faithfulness. Amen. We can build our lives on his word and his faithfulness of knowing he is faithful. That his word is faithful. It will come to pass. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, for he who calls you is faithful. 2 Thessalonians 3:3 says, the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. He's even faithful to strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. When you call on him, he will be faithful. Amen. How many know you? There's not very many people you can find that are faithful. Just saying, in our generation today, as they're growing up, they're not taught to be faithful sometimes. That's our job, church. We got to teach faithfulness, committed, trusting the Lord. Amen. So knowing that the Lord is good, that his mercy endures forever, and that his faithfulness continues to each generation is a huge revelation. It is huge for us to understand and know and to get that deposited into our life. Because it's going to help us through everything and anything that we may face. Any storm, any trial, any circumstance that we go through. If we know that God is good, that he is merciful, and that he is faithful, it's going to keep you on God's side. It's going to keep you on the side of God and not the enemy trying to lure you over to his side. So remember to always stay on God's side. Because, church, he will always stay on your side. What's the scripture say? That even when you're not faithful, he's faithful. Oh, thank you, Lord. Can we just thank him? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. Thank you that even when I haven't been faithful, that you are still faithful to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Seasons come and go. People come and go. Politics come and go. The world is swaying back and forth and is changing all the time. That's the world. Anyways. They're easily moved. But God has never moved. He's faithful. He is sure. He is my firm foundation, my solid rock on which I stand. And I will trust his love. I will trust his goodness, his mercy, and his faithfulness. And know it's going to turn out for my good. Because he works all things together for our good, for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. Amen? He works it for our good. We can always trust him. Hallelujah. So for this new year, let's make sure God is the builder of our lives and foundation so that we won't be moved or shaken. Amen? Amen. Psalm 62:2 says, he alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will never be shaken. Ha, 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 ha. Woo, I will never be shaken because he is my rock and my salvation. He is the solid rock on which I stand. Amen. Glory to God. So God is good and God is faithful. Pastor Ken, you want to come up and end it? Did you guys receive anything? You guys can stand up. Hallelujah. Let's trust our God.